Now we know what federal managers are asked to do in that latest executive order from the Trump administration. It's not the first time they've been asked to look at waste and redundancy. For some perspective and the likelihood of real effects, we turn to Don Kettle, professor of public policy at the University of Maryland. Don, good to have you back.
It's great to be with you, Tom.
I guess it's fair to say this isn't the first time or the first administration to come in and want to look at everything to see how efficiencies can be generated. What's the difference between this time and the Obama and Bush and Clinton, et cetera, efforts at the same type of thing?
For the most part, the big difference here is an effort to try to not only consolidate agencies, but to try to reduce them in size and scale. At the same time, the president, through the budget, is talking about reducing programs and federal employment. So this is as broad an effort to try to shrink the size of government as we've seen in a very, very, very long time. Most of the previous reorganizations have really focused on either cobbling a couple agencies together, or in the case of Bush with Homeland Security, making new agencies out of old ones. So this is really an effort to try to cut down the size and improve efficiency as opposed to trying to bring other agencies together or to change their status.
And it might be the first time that agencies have ever been asked to identify agencies that can be shut down altogether.
Exactly, because this has to be seen not only just in its own sake in terms of efforts to try to improve the efficiency of government, as is often the case with reorganization, but to try to shrink its size at the same time. This executive order, coupled with the federal budget, which is about to be released, I think together paint a very big and much more dramatic picture of an effort to try to cut the size of government, cut out agencies altogether, cut out federal budget spending, cut down the number of federal employees, cut down the number of programs, all as one piece. So this is a very big bite at, of course, what's a very big apple.
And it seems a little bit far-fetched, and maybe I'm wrong, but to ask federal employees the question, well, tell us which of you can voluntarily say, hey, we're not needed anymore, and neither is our program.
And it's one of those things that really causes two bits of problems. The first is that Congress, of course, has something to say about this. It's one thing for even new cabinet secretaries or the administration to talk about eliminating agencies or programs, but these, of course, are children of Congress as much as they are about the administration. The other thing that I think we need to look at as well is that the odds that federal employees themselves, even federal leaders, will step forward and say, take me first. I mean, fire me, cut down my program, shut down my agency. Those odds are very small and very slim. And whenever it is that that's happened in the past, it just simply hasn't worked very well at all.
And I guess from a psychological standpoint or an organizational whatever standpoint, if it's the political leadership that's yanking on this train, I think the people in the back are going to put on the brakes.
And there are a thousand ways that people work for agencies can do that. Everything from just slow walking proposals to ensuring that certain information gets out to certain interest groups in ways that may not advantage the way in which the debate goes. But on top of that, it's not only a matter of figuring out how people on the top are going to try to yank on the train and moving it forward, but the problem is how many people there may be to be able to do that. Secretaries without deputies, without assistants, without other political appointees at the top may find themselves pretty lonely in trying to advance this. These are not very easy things to do. They're not very easy things to try to conceptualize and to try to put together, to plan for. Figuring out exactly what it is that you can do and exactly how to do it requires a fair amount of sophistication and expertise. And for somebody coming in new, especially from the outside of the world of government, has been so often the case for this administration's appointees, asking people to come in and put that together without having another team of political appointees around them to help is a very tall order, and it's putting them in a very tough situation. Coupled with the fact that this executive order requires the director of OMB to put together the plan, but the plans that he's going to put it together from are supposed to come from the department. And so that really means that we have an OMB director who doesn't have political appointees around him being asked to cobble together proposals from cabinet secretaries who also don't have teams in place. It's a lot to ask given the fact that the administration doesn't have very much help out there in departments and agencies across the government.
We're speaking with Don Kettle, professor of public policy at the University of Maryland. And do you think this is something for the 2018 budget or maybe even beyond that?
Well, the earliest it seems to me could possibly be done would be for the 2019 budget. 2018 is, at this point, coming into shape. It's going to be dominated by tax cuts. It's going to be dominated by the effort to try to repeal Obamacare. And getting the details in place just seems too much to ask, I think, for 2018. The director of OMB has got essentially 6 months to put this together. And if you do the math, that really suggests a plan that comes together in late fall that then feeds into the budget reviews that would be then submitted by the president to the Congress in January or February of next year, which then would then roll it forward one more fiscal year. And so we'd end up having this mega battle over the content of federal agencies and the federal budget right in the middle of the midterm election season. And that further complicates things because members of Congress are going to have their own ideas. And so often what it is that undermines efforts to try to reorganize government, even from members of their own party, are members of Congress. And so members of Congress sitting there fighting the Obamacare battle, fighting now the effort to try to reorganize government, are going to have to sign on to something that may very well pose questions for them that are pretty frightening and pretty scary and pretty existential and pretty fundamental to their sources of power on the Hill, too. So
sure,
the timing of this is fascinating.
Now, there is a congressional list via the Government Accountability Office every couple of years of duplicative federal programs. Could that be the template for where to begin this? Maybe Congress and the agencies working together?
Yeah, there are some great ideas, actually, in GAO's report. They've been working on this for a while. And there's the potential here for saving, no exaggeration, hundreds of billions of dollars. But almost none of those savings come from just simply taking agencies and mashing them together. The savings that there are have to do with thinking about how to try to do federal programs better, to manage them more effectively. And that's going to require, in some cases, if not more federal employees, at least different federal employees and smarter federal employees. It's going to require more people in some places to be able to do the planning. It's going to require more management attention to some of these issues. And so if you take an instinct to try to cut down the size of the federal government, to back away, to try to cut down the number of people who are in place to be able to do some of these things, it's going to be that much harder to follow some of GAO's recommendations, which really means that if it turns out that the goal of this is simply to wipe programs out, to eliminate federal agencies, that's fair enough, and that's something that the administration will have to take up with Congress. But the idea of reorganization for reorganization's sake, following the kind of template the GAO has provided, is likely to require more and smarter federal employees in key places, and that's something that has so far, at least, not been in sync with what it is that the administration's been talking about.
Over the years, employees have come up with good ideas for different administrations for streamlining programs. And although they don't call it this, the executive order does seem to refer to shared services as a way of reducing back office costs. This is something the Obama administration pursued and the George W. Bush administration before that pursued. I sense that in there. That could be one way that agencies could at least offer up efficiencies, if not program elimination.
And that's just a great insight, I think, because one of the real sleepers in this executive order is an open invitation to agencies to think about how to try to consolidate everything from the back office work of financial management and accounting and payment systems on the one side to hiring and workforce management on the other. And there are a lot of opportunities across government to consolidate some of these operations within agencies and to produce not only massive efficiencies, but also improvements in the way in which the agencies can actually work. But that really asks individual components inside individual departments, say, to give up their own personnel shop or to allow all the financial management to be transferred to one central agency. That is a lot. And that's where some of these things have ended up falling into problems in the past. It requires smart people with good instincts about how to pull this together and strong leaders at the top who can overcome that internal resistance. Those are two pretty big hurdles, which is one of the reasons why some of these things haven't really taken off more in the past.
Well, we've got 180 days, I guess, to find out. Don Kettle is professor of public policy at the University of Maryland. As always, thanks so much.
So great to talk, Tom.
Find a link to more about the executive order at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.